Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Appreciate you. John 3, boy, what a great chapter John 3 is. Matter of fact, John 3 is probably one of the most preached out of chapters when it comes to the subject of salvation. And John chapter number 3, of course, records the story of a man by the name of Nicodemus. Some of the people asked, well, did Nicodemus ever get saved? And I truly believe that he did. I believe if you go to chapter number 19, you find him in chapter number 19, and I believe that Nicodemus got saved. In the beginning of chapter number 3 is the encounter with a man by the name of Nicodemus, and he come to Jesus by night, and many have said, well, why did he come by night? Was he ashamed, or was he trying to do it in secret? Well, it doesn't matter. The main thing is this, that he came. Amen? And whenever you look at it, any person that comes to the Lord as a sinner comes by night because they are in darkness, and Jesus is what shines the light unto him. Of course, Jesus begins to talk to him in chapter number 3, and he tells him, you got to be saved. If you're going to go to heaven, you must be born again. Now, I think it's interesting that he didn't tell him that he needed to be, he didn't tell him that he needed reformation, or he didn't tell him that he just needed to be worked over a little bit. He said, you got to be born again. In other words, you got to be made a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what salvation is today. It's an old man dying and raising a new man in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he tells him in verse number 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he's telling him, man, you got to be saved. He goes into verse number 5. And verse number 5 is a verse that a lot of people use for water baptism and water salvation, and baptism being essential for salvation. But that's not what it is at all. That's not what he's dealing with in verse number 5. Well, the Bible said this, verily, verily, I said unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I believe that there's two things there. I believe that we could look at it as a natural birth. Number one, you got to be born first to be born again. There's got to be a natural birth when he talks about the water. But I believe also you can look at that, and I really believe in the true context and not in typology, but in the true context, I really believe that he is dealing with the Word of God when he says water right there. When you study the Bible, and I'm headed somewhere, stay with me. When you study the Bible, there is different emblems or different types throughout the Bible. The Word of God is likened unto a lamp in Psalms 119, 105, because it illuminates. It's likened unto a hammer in Jeremiah 23, because it breaks up the heart of men. But it's also likened unto water because it cleanses. Psalms 119, verse number 9. John 15, verse number 3. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 26 says this, that a man is born of water, which means he's born of God's cleansing and purified by the Word of God. Also, we could go to John 4. John chapter number 4, Jesus meets that Samaritan woman right there. Here's what he says to her. He said, if you knew the water that I would give to you, you would ask me to drink. What's he referring to right there? He's referring to the Word of God. And salvation, it is essential by the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Hearing by the Word of God. Amen. So I believe that he is saying this to Nicodemus. You must hear the Word of God. That water, that Word of God will cleanse you. And that's what the Word of God does to us today. Amen. It will purify us. It will convict us. It will show us that we are wrong. So he continues talking to Nicodemus. Then he comes down to probably the most quoted verse in the Word of God, verse number 16. And he says this, it's what I want to use for a text for just a little bit this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to preach to you this morning on the love of God for just a little while. And can I say what our Sunday school teacher said? And can I back up and say what Brother Lloyd said? Man, if you're missing Sunday school, you're missing a blessing at Amazing Grace. Whether it's in here, whether it's the young adult class or one of our youth classes, you're missing a blessing at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. But here's what they said. They was talking about what the world needed in Sunday school. And I know there was a song that said this, what the world needs now is love. And that's true, because here's the thing about love. I like what Brother Lloyd said. He said, there's some men here that if I go the wrong way, they're going to call my hand on it. They're going to call me out, and they're going to tell me, hey, man, you better pump the brakes right here. Let's back up and reconsider the choice that you're fixing to make. And can I say this to you? True love is that. True love is not always patting us on the back. True love is not always saying you're doing just fine. True love sometimes is what rebukes us. Why do we tell our kids that they're wrong? Because we love them. Are you with me this morning? Why do we tell somebody, hey, you don't need to make that choice? Because we love them. And can I just say this to you as a parent today? If you allow your kid to do anything, act any way, go any way, you're really not showing them love today. True love will rebuke us. And what the world needs is the love of God. And the love of God will rebuke us and show us when we're wrong. But aren't you thankful that it doesn't stop there? The true love of God will comfort us. It will correct us. It will chastise us. And thank God for His love today. I want to show you two or three things about the love of God this morning here in John chapter number 3. Number one, I see this, the perfection of His love. The perfection of His love. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I would say this, the love of God is a perfect love. Why is it a perfect love? Love. Here's the reason that it is a perfect love, because the one that is loving is perfect today. God is perfect today. God's never made a mistake. Can I get an amen right there? I wonder if anybody in here would even raise your hand and say, preacher, I agree with you. God has never made a mistake. How many would raise your hand? Now, it's not a trick. Raise your hand if you believe that. God's never made a mistake. Okay, you can put it down. Now, I want you to understand something with me today. You are here today. You are alive today. You was born because of God. So you may be thinking, man, my life is a mistake. We may have made mistakes in our life. Can I get an amen right there? But your life is not a mistake. God knew who you was before you was ever formed in the womb of your mother, and that is where your life began. Can I get an amen right there? God knew who you was. And God being a perfect God, the love of God, the perfection of it, for God, it is perfect today. God being a perfect God, knew who you was, knew how He formed you, knew how He made you, and yet He still loved you. The perfection of love. It's a perfection of His love. It's God's love. It's not man's love. It's God's love. Why does He instruct the husband to love the wife as Christ loved the church? Here's the reason why. Christ's love to the church was a perfect love, amen? And even though our love for our wife will never be perfect because we are not perfect, we have a perfect example to look to. Number one, I see the perfection of His love. Number two, watch this with me. I'm moving quickly. It's 11:53. Jacob said he's got to go watch the race, get him out of here. Number two, watch this. Not only the perfection of His love, I see this, number two, the proof of His love. I see the proof of His love. For God, there's perfection. So loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You say, preacher, what is it today? The proof of God's love is that He not only gave, but He gave His only begotten Son. He didn't have no other to choose from. And can I just say this to you? Calvary was not an afterthought to God. in other words, Jesus going to Calvary and dying for our sins. It wasn't that man messed up in the garden, and after man messed up in the garden, God looked over at Jesus and went, "Oh no, we've got a problem." That's not what happened. God didn't look over at Jesus and go, "Man, I hate to tell you this, but I made them in my own image, but they messed up. So now you're going to have to go to Calvary." No, the Bible said that Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundations of the world. Calvary was not an afterthought to God. It is the proof that God loves us in spite of our sinful condition. We can see the proof of God's love in this, in that He provided in creation. That He provided in creation. There at creation, God did not have to make mankind, but He did. And after He made mankind in His own likeness, and even though they failed Him and messed up, God could have pushed them off the center of the earth, but He did not. God provided a sacrifice for them. Can I just say this to you? Before they ever messed up, before they ever missed the mark, hear me right here. Before they was ever created, God had already made a sacrifice for them before He ever created them. God knew they would mess up, yet God still created them. God still let them be. And before any of that took place, God had already made a sacrifice the days before that. Before you was ever created, God knew you would mess up. God knew you would miss the mark, but the proof of His love is this: He still shed His love abroad to us. It was provided in creation, but can I say this? The proof of His love was proclaimed in Christ. It was proclaimed in Christ. God could have sent an angel if He'd have wanted to. God could have made an animal sacrifice, an eternal sacrifice, if He wanted to. He's God, by the way. But you know what He done? He chose to proclaim His love for us through His Son. Through His Son. I don't have no boys. I got three girls, but I'm going to tell you this. There ain't nobody in here that I'd let any one of my girls die for. You with me? You say, "Well, what if somebody come in here today and it was me or them?" I love you. I hope you're ready to meet Jesus. You say, "Preacher, that's ugly." Caleb's sitting right back there. I think Caleb loves me. And I know he loves me right now because he's done a little work for me this week, and I hadn't paid him yet, so he loves me right now. Watch here, I believe me and Caleb's buddies. Man, we've hunted together. We've fished together. We've rode bikes separately, but trying to be together, he couldn't keep up with me, so we were separated. And that might be the other way around. But anyway, he's got that little boy, Jet. I was watching him as he's singing in the choir this morning. I saw a little Jet up there looking around at everybody like, "What is all these people screaming about? What is wrong with them?" Then it run through his mind, "Oh, I'm used to that. I live with Caitlin." But anyway, she took him out and didn't hear that, but somebody will tell her, I'm sure. Watch this. There is no way if somebody walked through that door right there, run up here. I hope somebody gets him before he gets all the way up here to me, okay? But if he or she makes it all the way up here to me, holds me captive, says the only way he's going free, "Caleb, you've got to let me have Jet." Let me tell you something. It ain't happening. He loves me. He loves my family. I trust him. If I was gone, just like you just talked about, I'd call him in a heartbeat. But he's not going to do that. Let me tell you the reason why. He don't love me that much. But you know what God does? God loved me so much it's proclaimed in Jesus Christ coming to earth and dying for our sins. The proof of His love He gave, but I thought about this. It's provided in creation. It's proclaimed in Christ, but it was poured out through Calvary. What did the Bible say in John 15? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What did he say? In Luke 23, as Jesus is on the cross, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus, on the cross of Calvary, was praying for you and for me. And the love of God is poured out through the agony of Calvary. I see the perfection of his love. I see the proof of his love. Watch this, number three. I'm watching the time, I promise you. I see the pursuit of his love. I see the pursuit of his love. Now, I understand, now stay with me. I understand that the reason you come to church sometimes is because you're wanting to hear from the Lord. Maybe the reason you went to church for the first time is because you want to know more about Jesus. So what we say is this, boy, I went to church that night looking for him. But the truth of the matter is this, the only reason you went to church is because he came looking for you. He put something inside of you that said you need to go to church. The Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart and said, you are lost. You said, well, nothing ever spoke to me and told me I was lost. You never got saved then because the Bible said, no man cometh unto me except the Father which I have sent me. Draw him to salvation. What was that caused you to want to know more about the Lord? What was that caused you to want to be saved? What was that caused you to want to go to church? You said, well, my mama told me to. No, it goes way, way, way farther up the chain than that. It's because the God of all glory pursued you. He came after you. He came looking for you. I thought about that story in Ezekiel chapter number 16. That baby is lying there polluted in its own blood, left there to die. But he went by that baby and said unto that baby while it was polluted in its blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, while thou was polluted in thine own blood, live. That's exactly what Jesus done to you. He saw you polluted in your own blood, in your own mess, in your own flesh, in your own filthiness. But he came to where you was at, and he pursued you. You know what happened in Genesis chapter number 3? Adam and Eve ran, did they not? They ran and hid themselves. Why? Because of what they had done. But guess who came looking for them? God came. Well, amen, I need to hurry, but I want to preach about an hour. God came to where they was at, and he came looking for them. We can go to John chapter number 4. And in John chapter number 4, there's a Samaritan lady that's a harlot. Whenever you study your life out, and she goes to the well in the middle of the day because there'd be no other women around there. And you know what Jesus does? He says, hey, disciples, I need to go by the well that day. I need to go through Samaria. And they said, you don't need to go over there. You don't need to have nothing to do with her. I don't have time to preach all of it. But you know what Jesus did? That lady was sitting over there because she was ashamed of her sin. Nobody else was around her. But when everybody else was ashamed of her, when everybody else had pushed her out to dry, when nobody else cared, there was a man named Jesus, knew exactly where she was at and exactly what she needed. Thank God for the day when the world had pushed us out and society had pushed us out and we thought nobody cared. But Jesus came walking to where we was at and spoke to us. Amen. The pursuit of his love. The pursuit. I thought about this. John chapter number 11. Lazarus is dead. He can't do nothing. Everybody all right right there? Dead man can't do nothing. And you know what we was? We was dead in trespassings of sin. And we could not get to him. Oh, but aren't you thankful that somebody sent for him for us? Can I just back up and rephrase that? Can I back and say that again? Aren't you thankful that somebody sent for him for us? Boy, I sure am thankful that I had a mama that said, oh, God, don't let my baby go to hell. Oh, God, save my boy. Oh, God, do a work. Amen. I'm glad that I had a praying daddy that went all over this country and said, please pray for my boy. I don't want him to go to hell. He's a good boy, but he needs to get saved. I'm glad somebody went and got Jesus on my behalf, and then they brought him to where I was at. And when Jesus got to Lazarus, they wasn't a blooming thing Lazarus could do within himself, but Jesus spoke to Lazarus that day. Thank God for that night, July 20th, 1994, when Jesus came to where I was at and spoke life to my dead, troubled soul. Amen. Oh, he pursued him. I thought about this. I'll quit preaching in an hour, so I thought about this. You study the story and the book of Matthew, chapter number 14, which is recorded in two of the other Gospels also, but in Matthew, chapter number 14, the disciples was already following Jesus at this point. He's already saved, if you want to look at it that way. They're doing the work of God. They're in the will of God. Because Jesus says, get into the boat and go to the other side. So they're doing exactly what God said do. And you know what happened? The storm of their life hit. Go home and read it. The storm of their life hit. But stand doing what God said do. You know where Jesus was at? The Bible said this, that he had went apart on a mountain with Sally to pray for them. So they're in the storm of their life, doing what God's told them to do. They look around and it seemed that God was nowhere around. You know what? They couldn't get, quote unquote, get to where Jesus was at because they was in the storm. Are you with me? Now, I don't know about you, but there's been some times along the way since I've been saved that I've been doing what he wanted me to do. I've been trying to live for him. I've been trying to walk according to his word. And all of a sudden, Miss Haley, it seems that I'm in the midst of the storm of my life. And I'm wondering where Jesus is at. Where's God at? What am I going to do, man? I'm going to drown right here. I'm not going to make it. Those old boys was thinking probably that was it. They was going to die. They was never going to see their family again. Oh, but they looked, and in the midst of the storm they saw somebody walking on what they was afraid of, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anybody else that's glad that in the storms of our life, when it seems that our boat is going down, that all of a sudden Jesus comes walking on what we're afraid of, and he's right there for us? Amen. The pursuit of his love. Why did he go to them? Because he loved them. Did y'all get that? Y'all thought I was really going to give you something. I did. Because he loved them. That's the reason that he went to them. The pursuit of his love. I got to get done. The promise of his love should not perish. He's given us a promise today. But watch this. The purpose of his love. But have everlasting life. That's the purpose of the love of God. Is so, listen to me. Come start playing. Listen to me, please. Listen to me. The purpose of God's love is this. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. You can be saved by the grace of God. You say, but preacher, you just don't understand. Let's don't even go down that road. He's a perfect God. We've already agreed on that. He's never made a mistake. We've already agreed on that. It's not a mistake that you're sitting here today. It's not a coincidence. You say it was my choice. I know it was your choice, but I believe in the providence of God. That's the reason you're sitting here. And I tell you something this morning. God loves you. You got a choice to make. Are you going to accept the love of God? Or are you going to reject the love of God? The purpose of God's love, it's one simple thing. Salvation. Being saved. Not going to hell. Not burning in an everlasting flame. That is the purpose. That's the reason. You say, well, I thought he come to heal the blind and make the lame to walk and the deaf to hear and the blind to see. No, that was just a few little benefits along the way. And I tell you something, him being with us in the storms of our life, that's just a little benefit along the way. The church that we sit and we worship in and the family that we enjoy as a family here at the church, that's just a benefit along the way. The main reason he come was to keep you out of hell. That's the reason Jesus came. That is the purpose of the love of God. He loved you so much that, listen to me, he loved you so much that he wanted to spend eternity with you. Think about that. You think you love each other in here, but you go with us on a youth outing for about 2 days, Brother Elijah, isn't that right? I know y'all hadn't had that privilege yet, but it's coming. And you have to make the girls go take a shower and brush their teeth. And the boys hadn't put deodorant on in 2 days. Are you with me? And then you thinking, yep, it's time for them to go to house. We think that we really love somebody. Watch this. God loved you so much that, number one, he let you be born. That's not a mistake. That, number two, he let his son die so that you could live. And that, number three, so you could spend eternity with him. God wants to fellowship with you for eternity. That's pretty amazing to me. The creator of the world. Spring's coming and I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. You know our family loves to hike. We've already got a couple places lined out. And I've been looking at a bunch of stuff on the Appalachian Trail in this area. And one of the most photographed spots on the Appalachian Trail is just about an hour and a half away from here in Virginia. And I can't wait. We're going to pack into there. Spend the night, watch the sun go down at it, watch the sun come up at it, and then pack back out. And when you see all those mass, beautiful creations, when you watch the sun come up over the Blue Ridge Mountains, and you're sitting there beside a creek in the early mornings, and you watch that sun begin to peep up over the mountains, or back when we used to fish, Brother Lloyd, and you're sitting there at the break of daylight and that smoke coming up off the water and that sun begins to rise over it. The one that makes every bit of that happen. Think about that. The one that makes every bit of that happen. He said, hey, I love you so much. Won't you come live with me for eternity? You said, preacher, that's awful simple. No, that's really dadgum deep. Son, that's deep. To think that he wants me to come live with him. That's the purpose of the love of God. Have you accepted the love of God? Because accepting the love of God is accepting his Son as your Savior and the forgiveness of your sins.